Hello, hello, OdaFest podcast listeners. My name is Angela, and with me today are Nancy and Jay.
We back.
All three
of us.
We're like Pokemon starters.
Yeah. You
Which
get
Pokemon
bald,
starter,
girl, or Asian.
Oh my gosh.
One of us might be dual typing. I won't say who.
What does the typing get based off of?
I don't know. I'm not the Pokemonologist.
Well, actually.
If you are a licensed Pokemonologist, please let us know.
Oh my god. Ah, but welcome back, everybody. And we have a reminder. OdaFest's first ever community cookbook is still taking submissions. Proceeds go straight to our total charity drive amount. Come be a part of OdaFest history and submit up to 3 recipes for the cookbook at OdaFest/cookbook. That is OtaFE.ST/cookbook. Submissions close March 15th.
Get them
in.
Or
as Jay likes to say, March 13th.
Plus 2.
Exactly.
Very exciting. Gotta go nudge up some of my recipes so that they're submission ready.
You gotta do it fast because this airs, you have just days to do it. Just days.
I'm like tempted to submit a recipe just for kanji.
I mean, did you know that some people don't know how kanji is made? Like there's some technique to it.
Yes.
I don't know how kanji is made.
Spoilers. It's rice and water and then water again.
Oh, my.
It can also just be rice and water and then no extra water after.
Oh, so you just have to have enough water to begin with.
Yes. Yes. But how much is enough?
Ah.
And can you replace any of that liquid with your favorite liquid?
Gatorade.
Alcohol.
God. Actually, I'm pretty sure alcohol boils off too fast to be used for that, wouldn't it?
I thought Angela was going to follow the joke and say eggnog, but no.
No. Oh, God. Oh, Michael. Oh, actually.
See?
Well, no, it would just be an eggnog rice pudding, wouldn't it?
The thickness kanji would be legendary.
That might actually
request
be nice.
That you put in. You might need to use an immersion blender just so you can get the graininess out of it, though. I feel like it has like kanji. Kanji itself doesn't really have a grainy texture, but I feel like with the expectations of like a dessert-like flavor, such as eggnog, it might feel grainy.
No, I don't think so. I think it could. And you know what? I'm not gonna go down this rabbit hole. I'm gonna let Angelo do the experimenting for us. He'll come back with his findings, and then we'll talk about it on next week's episode.
Next week? I can't get eggnog ready by next week.
True, that is true.
The pressure,
I forgot
the
that it's out
pressure.
Of season.
It's a
Therefore,
little bit out
you
of
have
season.
To actually make it.
And that will take like 3 weeks before all the salmonella risk is gone.
Uh-huh. So like a month from now.
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Silly
we'll see.
Angelo, there's no salmon in eggnog.
Listen, the Ella changes everything.
Jay, that is such an old joke. Oh my God. But you know what? Food-wise, 7-Eleven is coming out with Japan's famous tamago sandos, and they're here. And I don't know how y'all feel about that.
I have been notified by several different parties that they are here.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are friends and some of them are just advertising. But
is it the same level of notification that you got when people found out there was actual sumo happening?
Not the same level, but not dissimilar either. My only response to anyone who sent me anything about the egg sando at 7-Eleven, look, I haven't gone looking for them. I haven't had one here on Canadian shores yet. So I don't know the product other than what I've had in Japan. What I have consistently replied with is that I would rather pay $900 for a round trip to Japan and go to a 7-Eleven in Japan and pay $2 for their tamago sando than to walk across the street and buy it for $5 here.
Oh my God. I don't know. Well, I have I have something of a reservation against this. This is a long held belief. Gas station egg salad sandwiches are a really bad way to die.
Anything from a gas station is a bad way to die.
Drinking gasoline, bad way to die.
7-Eleven here, basically convenience stores here in North America. My immediate just association with them is gas stations. I understand a lot of them aren't gas stations. I'm pretty sure most convenience stores that I could walk to in my radius aren't gas stations. But I don't know. I still look at like Circle K. I look at 7-Eleven. I'm like, yeah, gas station. Gas station egg salad.
Gas station mentality.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, it's probably unfair to judge it on that. But I also don't think I would do it either.
And here's the issue. Like, that's 3 for 3 people who say they won't eat the Tamagosando from 7-Eleven in North America. One because of cost, one because of fearing for their life. And do you have a specific
it's not about
reason,
cost.
Nancy? Well, you said $5 is too much for it.
I'm assuming it's $5. Like I said, I haven't gone out and seen. I will say, though, if it is $5, that's already, you've already sort of broken part of the pact, however, of that product, which is like, it is not only convenient, but it is also very affordable and then also delicious. That is like the package that they are offering you in Japan.
Not going to lie, you know? I can't imagine it actually being cheap.
Not here, no. I don't know why.
Do you know how much eggs cost here?
Eggs are cheap. Eggs are not that expensive in Canada. You can get 12 of them for $5.
Yeah, it actually got better. It got kind of expensive for a bit there. But now it's better.
But I don't know.
The problem is, if people don't go to convenience stores and eat all of their fresh foods within the amount of time before they're going to go bad, then people are going to eat them after they've gone bad. And they're going to get a stigma of being bad food, kind of like I already have for them.
Yes. I would say, like, I think part of the issue here, for me at least, is like, I'm talking about Tamagosandos, but in my heart, what I'm really saying is any sandwich from a 7-Eleven. The only thing that I would consider okay, and technically it's like, in a sense, the freshest thing you can get in sandwich form is a hot dog.
Oh.
And would you
I get hot dogs. I get hot dogs from 7-Eleven every now and then.
Oh, really?
I grew up having them for lunch when I was a kid.
Huh.
I've gotten into a habit of, if I don't have the things I want to make lunch for work, I'll stop at the co-op on my way to work, grab like a sandwich from their case, and maybe some chips or something. Make something of a lunch, because that way I'm spending like $10 to $15 instead of paying closer to $40 using like DoorDash or Skip the Dishes, right?
Yeah.
It is still, I end up buying way too much food. I really indulge, whatever, but it's half the cost. I can't argue with that. But the problem with like the prepared sandwiches at co-op is they're still too damn much money. I think that the cheapest one they have is $7.
Yikes.
Yeah. So I can't imagine. I honestly can't imagine that the 7-Elevens here will be cheaper than $5. And for just an egg salad sandwich, that isn't worth it mentally. On one hand, it is going to be probably one of the better deals for just a sandwich that you can get. On the other hand, I'm pretty sure I can just go to McDonald's and get a regular cheeseburger or something for cheaper. And it'll be fresher. And it won't be just egg salad. I don't know.
It's really interesting the different mentality we have around getting some food, hot food, from a 7-Eleven here versus a 7-Eleven in Japan, for sure.
No, it is 100%. It is, I mean, normal thing versus normal thing in Japan.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's not undeserved. It's like you understand that they built their reputation that way. It's not the consumer saying, I don't want convenient food that is good for me. It's the history of convenience store food in North America being conveniently bad for you. And not inconveniently, but conveniently bad like McDonald's is conveniently bad. Conveniently bad as in a reputation to make you sick and a reputation of also tasting awful and being overpriced.
That's the other
it's
thing.
Not a good experience.
I legitimately avoid convenience stores because they're overpriced. Like, I'm actually thinking about it now. Co-op is, unfortunately, one of the more expensive grocery stores. I feel like the only one that's more than Co-op is, like, Whole Foods or something. But now that I'm thinking about it, even though it's, like, a grocery store, it should be less expensive than a convenience store because convenience stores are always absurdly expensive.
Because yes. You're paying for convenience.
Yeah. So now I'm thinking about it. Well, $7 for the cheapest prepared sandwich at Co-op. There's no way the convenience stores will be cheaper than that. And there's no way in hell I would pay $7 for just a good old tamago sando. I would sooner make it myself.
The other thing. So the funny thing is that we talk about this, about like the price and the convenience and whatnot. By the way, for anyone who doesn't know, that same pricing model, shall we say, exists in Japan. Convenience store food and drink is more expensive than if you just go to a grocery store. And they have grocery stores, but tourists surprisingly kind of don't hang out in grocery store areas. So next time you go to Japan, consider going to a grocery store. You can buy your drinks for like, I don't know, maybe 50 cents to a dollar less sometimes. Just saying.
True. Yeah. Honestly, now again, that I think about it, I don't remember seeing... Like, of course there were grocery stores in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have grocery stores like we have grocery stores? Because I didn't see any. Yes. I didn't walk by
any. Yeah, they do.
There's a bunch. They're the same. All right. They're the same size as like a Sobeys / Safeway style like thing. But see, this is, I would say that's like definitely, because the Angela's been to Japan once. That's definitely like you went to Japan one time and you didn't notice like the mundane things,
yeah,
which is totally fine.
So yeah. I did notice grocery stores, but the ones that I noticed looked like they were like mostly fresh meats and produce and things of that nature and really small. Like the H Mart on 10th Avenue, or is it A Mart? I can't remember. They looked more like that size as opposed to like a Co-op or a Sobeys size. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want you to imagine, though, that if you took a regular Co-op or a Sobeys and then you stuffed it into five floors of smaller space.
True.
Also, that is something that they do.
But
that's also just like talking about cities. I'm also talking about burbs, relatively.
And that's the other thing. Dio and I really didn't go to the burbs of anywhere.
That's not true. You guys went to a pretty remote town for a short stint of your trip.
That ain't the burbs. That's fucking Narnia. That's completely different.
Fine, but they also would have had grocery stores there.
I don't think they did. At least not one you could get to without a car. Or the bus, I suppose.
That'd be normal. But anyway, such things do exist, and they're just crammed into a smaller footprint and put into multiple floors instead of one big giant warehouse.
Yeah.
And they're not tourist flashy, so that the Japanese can finally have a place of refuge in the insanity of their tourism.
That said, fresh produce in Japan can be very expensive.
Oh yeah. Expensive and overpackaged. Oh my god.
Oh, mm-hmm. I have seen pictures of that, how they literally wrap every individual thing, like individual oranges or bananas or things in plastic.
Yeah, that's unfortunately normal.
I hate that.
Yeah, we're not even talking about like the nice stuff that everyone already knows about. Like sometimes, like, you know, they have like nice
the designer strawberries.
Or like, yes. Or the designer grapes and whatnot. No, like they package a lot of their regular produce in a crap load of plastic. It's why I have to use paper straws over here. I swear to God.
True.
They are the reason.
True. It's unfortunate that a regular orange doesn't just come packaged in a very natural biodegradable wrapper that keeps it nice and fresh and completely protected from all the... It's got a literal peel on it, guys. It's perfect. Same with bananas. You literally take the outside off. You don't even have to wash it. You just tear into it and just go like, oh, it's perfect.
Wait, you don't eat the skin on bananas?
Do not eat my bananas with the peel.
I don't either.
I, for one, don't need that much extra fiber in my diet, thank you. I eat my salads.
Can I say the one thing that I did change behavior on in terms of eating with or without skin?
What's that?
Is that I grew up eating kiwis peeled, but now I'm willing to eat them unpeeled.
Good for you. Probably not for me.
Wait, you eat them hairy?
It's a thing in other places. They just, a lot of other places actually just don't care about eating the kiwi without, like, by peeling.
I can't imagine just biting into a hairy kiwi. I don't know. Something about, like, the texture of the outside of the kiwi. It's not like a peach.
I thought
it's
I would
like
hate
fuzzy.
It more. I thought I would hate it more, but I actually don't hate it.
Okay.
Just say it.
Good
that
for you.
I mean, like, you don't want to do it. I think the main thing is, like, you definitely don't want to do it with even like a slightly underripe kiwi, because then like the hardiness that comes with underripe fruit, I think that bothers me more. But like, yeah, if it's nice and ripe, I'd be like, oh, absolutely, go for it. It's just, that's definitely extra fiber.
Good for
definitely.
You.
Definitely some extra cellulose in the down the tubes. Oh my lord. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the disgust that I just felt at Jay saying that he eats the kiwi with the peel, unironically.
You did make a face.
Some people are just stronger. I can tell when this man isn't lying.
You made a face.
That is very similar to the disgust that Microslop felt when people in the co-pilot Discord wouldn't stop calling it Microslop.
Oh.
First of all, I love that there's a co-pilot Discord and it's not on Teams.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm there's sure there is a version Discord? Of it on Teams somewhere.
Oh,
what?
Absolutely.
But furthermore, Microslop got so incensed at this that they banned the term Microslop. If you had a message that included the word Microslop, it would not send to the Discord. And then it got so bad.
I guess I've never heard of Barbara Streisand, hey?
Yeah, Barbara Streisand.
They Streisand themselves so hard.
Uh-huh.
That they had to completely lock the Discord and cancel like all their invite codes. They had to shut it completely down.
Wild to me.
That's
really
were
funny
so
because
angry.
You know that's like,
me.
You know, in terms of I'm sure that like part of it is just Microsoft direction, but like, you know, that's also probably maybe one of the mods, maybe two of the mods on that team go being like, we really don't want that term showing up in our Discord.
No, 100%. It comes from
like
the
that's
top.
All it takes.
Yeah. That is Satya Nadella himself being like, people need to stop using the word slop. We need to stop using some kind of distinction between slop and sophistication. Like, when Satya Nadella went out against the word slop because the CEO of Microsoft himself was getting a little bit butthurt about people clowning on AI.
Feelings hurty.
That just made people do it more, especially directed at Microsoft. Now, to supposedly cut Microslop some slack, they were saying that, no, it wasn't a censorship issue. No.
I'm pretty sure that is the definition of censorship, but okay, go on.
We were noticing that the Copilot Discord channel was getting spammed relentlessly, and we had to make these settings so that the spam in the Discord would come to an end, you see. The Copilot Discord was getting completely useless if people kept calling it Microslop. And so we had to do it to him.
Right. Yes.
Everybody believed that, Microslop.
One of my favorite memes that pops up, and I will like basically find someone to share it to every time I see it, is the Professor Farnsworth from oh my god,
Futurama.
Futurama,
thank you. And the title of said meme says, "This is Copilot. You can ask it anything." And he's like, "Ask it to fuck off."
Ask it how to uninstall Copilot.
Every time I will share it, find someone to share it with, because it makes me chuckle every time. And
it's so good.
I want to share the love.
Yeah. You know? The shared love of shared hate.
Yes. There's nothing quite like it.
Oh, God. Thank you, generative AI, for giving all of us something to revile.
A humor, as
something
it were.
Something for us to unite against.
Exactly. Now, it would have been nicer if it never existed in the first place. But, I don't know. I'm just here to wrestle Microsoft's jimmies. That really is what it is.
Well, speaking about things that people were kind of upset about, the Evangelion 30th anniversary special, quote-unquote aired because it was at a special event and it wasn't supposed to be aired ever again afterwards, but...
But you see, people have cameras in their pockets.
That's
at
crazy.
All time. And so when Studio Kara, when Mr. Hideaki Yano himself, I wasn't there, I'm just presuming he was presenting it. He was like, "Behold! An animation of Asuka." You guys like Asuka, right? And it was never supposed to leave the expo, the presentation, the thing. But of course people used their cameras, posted some cam rips to YouTube, to Twitter, to a bunch of other places. And then Studio Kara decided, hey, we're going to DMCA that. We're going to Digital Millennium Copyright Act all of this stuff. We want it taken down. We want it removed. And in the emails sent out to demonstrate that, yes, this is our intellectual property that you are infringing upon. The example that they used was the full 4K original cut that was never distributed ever. And it immediately
Until
got
now.
Sent to the people who were legitimately pirating cam rips already.
Just the actual execution here just made me laugh.
It is so ridiculously incompetent that I feel like it had to be planned.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, this is some kind of attempt at, like, I don't know, again, the Barbra Streisand effect, but like
in reverse
planned. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are the odds that there was some kind of weird contract that meant that Studio Kara couldn't distribute this? I don't know why. I don't know how that could happen. But maybe there was some limiting factor for them that they couldn't distribute it. People copywriting it, people infringing on the copyright, and they were like, "Well, we need to demonstrate that we own the copyright to this. So here's the file." Oops. The file got out somehow. nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. And so the obvious thing happened. Within hours, pirate options for the full K, the 4K full resolution video were available on websites, various websites. And Studio Kara did the only thing that really made sense. They came out and said, our bad, we're going to upload this to YouTube.
Hooray, now we all get to see it.
Now we all get to see it. Studio Kara actually will get the ad revenue from the YouTube chip plays, at least. It's something. It's something. I think that is the absolute best reaction to all of this. It is just such a funny, absurd chain of events.
Do you think this was malicious compliance on Kara's behalf? Like, do you think they did this deliberately to force the sharing hand?
I don't know. That's really what it is.
It would be a brilliant play. It's like, you know, person up top says, you guys have to start sending out DMCAs. They're not allowed to do that. Gotta slap everybody on the wrist. And so you do. But you link the full 4K video in the DMCA.
I have to think about this. From the eyes of one of the artists who worked on the short, on the work.
Mm-hmm.
If I spent weeks, if me and who knows, 10, 50, 100 other people worked on a thing for literally weeks, pouring our heart and soul into it, and it was shown once at some expo thing, while I would feel really good about that, I would feel like, yeah, these people got to see it. Why don't the rest of the people get to see it? I want everybody to see the thing that I poured my heart and soul into. I feel like it was such a insane level of incompetence to leak it that way, that there must have been some malicious compliance. Whoever sent out that email probably knew exactly what they were doing. And I just, that gives me a warm feeling. A really warm feeling, you know?
Just blame it on the intern.
Just blame it on the interns.
Poor interns, they get such a bad rap. Poor interns.
Maybe it's because the all of the microplastics and the individually wrapped oranges over there. Who knows?
Oh, man.
That's a hell of a link.
It really is.
But I am looking forward to next week's episode where we get to do our review of the current season before we dive into another preview.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Angelo has... I think this is... Not that there's, like... Every season, every other season maybe, has some really pretty good stuff. But I think this is one of the seasons where Angelo's been pretty consistent about how vocally happy he is.
There's a lot of good anime he's been watching right now.
Not that he's trying to persuade us in any one direction, right? He's not. He would never try to influence.
That's
Am
crazy.
I an influencer on the internet? I doubt.
No way.
I doubt. But no, legitimately, the winter season has been going insane. There have been a couple things that were on our review list that I absolutely think are worth a watch, but I want to save all of that discussion for our next episode about it. But it is just, it has a really strong showing this season of not just like extremely good high production anime. There's even the stuff that, like, the low budget seasonal stuff that you'll kind of watch and forget, and it is what it is. Even a lot of that has been kind of compelling this season, and I don't know where it all came from. I feel like summer and fall last year, it felt like there was a drought. Especially fall, it felt like there was almost nothing to watch. Everything that I watched was just like, I've got nothing better to do. This is, it's Wednesday night, and this doesn't make me happy watching it, but okay.
Meanwhile, I will remind you. I will remind you that Sean spent the better part of late last year rewatching the vast majority of the Macross franchise.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
there just wasn't a lot for us to keep up with and watch.
Meanwhile, there's like just kind of okay. There's something, one anime that I actually like, and I'm pretty sure it's not on our list, is the easygoing territory defense of the optimistic new lord of the optimistic lord. And
that's
that is
a name.
Such a it's such a fucking name.
That's
it is
a name.
Such a name. And the entire premise of the anime is so dumb. It is an isekai, for one thing. Barely an isekai, but an isekai nonetheless. Nancy just rolled her eyes.
As she should.
I too need a change from the isekai.
Yeah, no, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And all that happens in it is there's this kid who is born to a noble family. And in this world, noble families prioritize attack magic above all else. Like, oh, you have to have the wind magic or the fire magic or the water magic because that's how you keep your people safe. Meanwhile, our boy, Van Nefertio, he was born with production magic, which is supposedly the shittiest magic. The magic
Industrial
that lets
Revolution
you make
magic?
Anything. No, literally. I'm not even joking. Literally. Yes.
That's hilarious.
The magic that lets you just make anything instantly is seen as
he invented the 40-hour
magic.
That is just...
Because, like, what? Oh, you can make a knife or a dagger. Ha ha! A blacksmith can do that with his bare hands without using fucking magic. Get out of here, idiot. So our boy gets exiled to some backwater village.
Please tell me he puts them through the Industrial Revolution.
Within the first week, he's built giant castle walls with massive metal ballistas that are probably better with... they can take down, like, dragons and shit.
Hmm. Eat
That's
that, suckers.
Like, literally, he's an 8-year-old... he's an 8-year-old, by the way.
Oh my
Jesus.
God.
Oh, that's cute. Because he's got like the imagination of an 8-year-old. So he can like
exactly.
go like Lego ham on his he's Green Lantern.
He's Green Lantern. Oh my God.
And, what a sweetheart.
Overall,
mm-hmm.
it's so stupid. But it is actually fun.
It is dumb.
Okay.
It is actually really fun. It
okay.
is really crazy. It is, all of the characters are charming, and so
mm-hmm.
I've actually been having a really good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there's a different okay. isekai of a different 8-year-old kid. I don't know why there's so many 8-year-old protagonists this season. It happens. And the difference is, so our boy Van Nefertio, he's a gray-colored child. He's got gray hair, gray clothes, whatever.
Oh.
I can't even remember the name of this other anime. All I know is that our main boy is all blue. He's got blue hair, blue eyes, blue clothes, blue sword.
Okay.
Everything is blue. Like, you could sing the Eiffel 65 song about him.
I was going to say.
Oh my.
Sponsored by Eiffel 65.
That one,
by their
on
new
the
album
other hand.
Coming out.
Extreme Blue.
Is the most... infuriating thing I have ever tried to watch, because the base premise is so ridiculously similar. Both of them are isekai. Both of them are less supposedly, at first glance, about the power of the main character themselves and more about how their power enables other people to, like, elevate things.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second anime, it is so infuriating. The main character has all of the personality of a Turing machine. And on top of that, he just says the most banal, straightforward bullshit. Or he pulls out the most insane five-head garbage that you would hear from a villainous anime about, like, court rules or respects or things of that nature. And then everybody around him is just like, oh my god, that is the smartest thing we've ever heard somebody say. And it came from an 8-year-old nonetheless. We're going to glaze you so hard. Here's a new title. You are so smart. It is validation slop.
Oh dear.
That is...
Oh.
That is a term that I heard for it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is exactly what it is. Validation slop. It is the genre Why? Of anime where the entire anime exists for you, the watcher, to insert yourself as the main character. And everybody in the anime says, you're right.
You're so smart.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
And I watch it, it's just infuriating.
What do they call those things? Affirmations.
Yes.
Like affirmations, the anime.
It's Daily Mail affirmations. It's like, oh my god, you didn't even have to do anything. You just spent money
and you accomplished everything you wanted.
Everybody else did things for you because you just like threw down a lot of cash.
Pick any of these to review, did we?
I don't think we did that.
Oh, god.
Only one of them, which is not one of the slops.
Good. Okay.
It's just that the first episode is an hour long.
Okay.
There are multiple.
It's following the Oshi no Ko formula nowadays.
I'm seeing that.
A lot of things are doing that these days.
What's up with that?
Back in my day, it took legitimately 3 or 4 episodes for the anime to become good, and each episode was only 20 minutes long, so it's not like I spent an hour... Oh, wait.
No, that's exactly what it is.
I spent an hour anyways.
Studios are finding out that they are having a harder, more difficult time gripping people and making them invested in the shows, right? So they looked at the old 3-episode rule, where it was like, okay, you have 3 22-minute episodes. 3 minutes from each episode is probably being used for the opening and ending. So that means you have 18 times 3. What is that? 40-something, like 47-ish minutes per show to actually... deliver onto something. And so for the really high budget shows, or the shows where they really think they have something special, they are giving you all 3 episodes at once in one sitting to make sure you are immediately hooked.
I will say that for a long time now, my default favorite presentation is probably 40 minutes, not 20, not 15, not an hour or more. Just give me a 40-minute package. I believe, like, for the entire series, for what it's worth. Like, give me that for the entire series. It gives the best room, I think, for, like, character and story development, but it doesn't feel like I have to sit through it. I don't feel like I can't commit 40 minutes.
That's counterpoint. There is something even better that Amazon has been doing. I don't like to give them that much credit. But I've noticed this on Amazon. Maybe it's happening on things like Netflix, Hulu, or Disney+. The properties that are actually made explicitly for streaming services, they aren't holding that close to the actual timestamps that you expect. They aren't going to the 22 minutes or the 44 minutes or the 1 hour or things like that. They will have that as a loose target, very, very much like our podcast right now. We have a loose target that we want to hit.
They stole from us.
But they will either shorten it by a couple minutes or extend it out by a couple minutes. Or in some cases, I have watched episodes of some things. Like, I think 1 or 2 episodes of The Boys were like 1 hour and 5 minutes or 1 hour and 10 minutes. They were really long. Because they just want to wrap up everything that's happening in that episode. Sometimes it'll give you a hangover to make sure you binge right onto the next one. But
interesting.
Invincible, for example, with Amazon did this. They extended out the episode to however long or however short it needed to be to give you everything that that episode introduced to tie up some loose ends to give you something really satisfying and set up the hook for the next episode. And I think that's actually, in the way that entertainment is going, I think that's better. Back in the day, back when I was in like high school or something, I would use TV shows to almost time my day. It's like, oh, this TV show is ending and a new one's starting. Half hour has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Time to go check on cooking. Mm-hmm. Check on what's in the oven. Like, it's the probably ideal, done by now. Mm-hmm.
You are the ideal media consumer if you just
it was book awful.
Your, if you schedule your life by the TV guide.
I literally changed that
in grade 11 and things got better.
I see.
Huh.
That was a thing. I would time out parts of my day based on how long episodes of TV happened. And you can't really do that anymore, because if you go on like YouTube, on Netflix, on Amazon or whatever, you're starting it whenever. You're ending it whenever it ends. And mm-hmm. it's just a matter
that
of...
That is the video on demand.
If I have to stop in the middle to do something, I can do that. It's no big deal. So having an episode that just takes up the time it deserves and leaves early or stays a little bit longer if it deserves it, I think that's great.
I mean, that is content that is being tailored to the direction of the show, like the production saying this is what we want for the show in order for it to breathe in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I can respect that, because you're respecting like essentially the artistic vision. There's nothing wrong with it.
When I first noticed that. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. And I do remember that like shows when most of us had cable television were written in a way to keep you coming back, right? It was a weekly new episode and they were written in a way to make you want to watch the new episodes next week.
Exactly.
True episodic content. Yes.
And that is something that I've noticed changing. Like, when I first noticed
the
episodes weren't tied to a specific time frame, I felt like the quality of them got better.
I feel like the last time that was really relevant felt like Game of Thrones, maybe.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Because that was still airing on HBO.
Yeah, it was still it was like the last
air TV.
Yeah, it felt like it was maybe one of the last like water cooler content. You know, like you watch the show, you go into your whatever community and be like, "Hey, did you see that last episode? Let's talk about that last episode."
Yeah.
Whereas now, like things like, for example, I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard very good things about it. Heated Rivalry.
Oh yes.
You know, people are just like, it's all there all at once, which is fine, and people loved binging the hell out of it.
It had an explosion of discussion, and at this point, I think it's been like what, 3 weeks since it aired, or has it been a month? It's gotten to the point where it's part of like the cultural zeitgeist for a lot of people. They'll just be like, "Oh, Heated Rivalry. Yes, this is like that."
Yeah.
Like I have had multiple conversations. Rather, I've been part of multiple conversations where the other two people are talking about how Heated Rivalry is just Captain America and Bucky Barnes Yowie.
Yup. That's what I've heard too.
I have not heard that because my social circle hasn't been as indulged. I know some of my friends have watched it, but not as much as, again, something like a Game of Thrones.
And like, I'm out of the loop on it, but they say that, and it actually gives me a lot of information on exactly what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Well.
Now I think I've given you guys plenty of information more on what to expect for next week's episode of the OdeFest podcast.
So we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.